a school-aged child, but that might also be an adult. People are drawn into Disney. Why? You know, the story of Walt Disney goes back to the 1900s, where Walt, or Walter Disney, was a young man. He was born in Chicago, and he moved out to the farm in Missouri. And when he moved out to the farm, his grandfather and grandparents lived there, grandmother. He was on the farm growing up, and that was a very, very magical time for him. He got a challenge from a doctor who lived on the farm, and the doctor asked him, "Disney, Walter, I want you to go out and draw me the horse." The doctor had a stallion in the farm, and the doctor told him, "I want you to go out and draw me a picture of it." Walt was a young boy. He took his crayons and his drawing pad, and he went out, and he tried to sketch this horse. Now, the horse didn't just stay still. Can you imagine a horse just standing still, "Draw me"? No. The horse kept moving and moving and moving in all different directions, and Walt was trying to get that picture of that horse. And it was at that moment it dawned on him. He wanted to do something like that, create characters that could draw people in. Walter eventually took that experience that he had on the farm, and he kept on with it. From a young boy, he said, "I want to go out into the world and draw characters, draw animation pictures that would give people an experience that they could never have before in this world." Walter Disney, or Walt Disney, went on to create Disney World. He created Disney World because he would go out to the theme parks with his children and his daughters especially, and it was just very boring. Just going to merry-go-round, round and round and round. Walk around the park, do the same things over and over again. And he said, this is not enough. My children and later on his grandchildren are not really getting a connection, are not really getting a relationship with this experience. So he purposed in his mind that he wanted to create an environment, a place where it would be the happiest place on earth. And as you know, you ask any person alive today, "If I could pay a flight for you right now, forget about everything, you and your kids, to go down to Florida and Disney World," who's going to turn down that offer? Everyone wants to go to Disney World. Everyone wants to get that Walt Disney experience. The problem is, Disney and the Disney World type of experience is only in this world. Walter wants to give the world an experience that is happy, an experience that is connecting, but it's only found in this world. This morning, we've been going through a series called God Provides. God provides a resolute mind. God provides a reason. And this morning, I want to tell you another thing that God provides in this series is that God provides relationships. God provides, Jehovah Jireh, God provides a relationship that not even Walt Disney can compare to. God provides a relationship that is so real that even Walt Disney could, if he could understand that relationship, he would say, "Wow, I wish I could put this relationship in an animation." But nothing in this world can compare to the relationship that God is providing to all mankind today. We see this kind of relationship very early in the nation of Israel in their history with God. Israel in the tabernacle had a relationship that was so palpable, that was so present, that Moses himself, that in the Old Testament, that Moses himself could not even enter into the tabernacle because God's presence was so awesome and so valid in the cloud that was there. Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 to 35. It says this: "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." In the Old Testament, God's presence, God's relationship with his people was so strong that his presence, his holy presence, would fill the tabernacle. Just imagine this building this morning. You were trying to come into the building, and God's presence is so strong that the cloud is so thick that you cannot even enter into the building. That was the relationship that God had with the nation of Israel. That was the relationship that God had with His people, a relationship where He was there and He provided it in such a strong way that it was so much that they could not even enter into the tabernacle. In the New Testament, God is not a God that dwells in buildings. The church is not a building. God's new tabernacle is His holy assembly, is His people, is His church. And as you find yourself in God's church, as one of God's people, you have that opportunity for God to provide a relationship to you this morning that not even Walt Disney could understand, that not even Walt Disney can imagine. God has provided that relationship to you based on the work that He has done for you and for me and for the entire world on that cross. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 19, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church and he's telling them this is the kind of relationship that God has provided. He tells them that God was in Christ, the Father, in the Son, appealing to the world, telling the world that the world needs to be reconciled to Him. And in that appeal, God is telling the world, God is telling you and me this morning, He's not imputing our trespasses against us. He is not imputing our trespasses against us if we go for the relationship that He has provided, if we go for the relationship that's on the table. He's not imputing our trespasses and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You see, God has provided a relationship, and the relationship is already there. It's not like God is still saying, you know what, I want to give them a relationship. I want to provide something for them. God has done it. On Calvary, the offer stands on the table. The offer is right there. But the problem is many people are not seeking that relationship. The reconciliation has already been complete. There's nothing left for God to do that's preventing you from having that relationship with Him. There's nothing else that God has to do, that God has to provide, that you would have to do to come into God's presence, to come into God's holy presence this morning. The problem is a lot of people are searching for a different type of relationship. They want a Walt Disney type experience. They want a relationship that is of this world. Now this morning I want to ask you, how are those kinds of relationships working out? You know, you have a lot of people that say, well, you know, I'm in a relationship. I have 1,000 friends on Facebook. I have all the relationships that I need. I have 1,000 friends on Facebook. Now, if you were to go to that person, you would ask them, if you are sick tonight, if something were to happen to you, you get a problem in your heart or something happened, you can't get out of bed and you were to go on your computer and type to your friends, I'm sick. I need somebody to come and help me to go to the hospital tonight. How many of the crowd of the thousands would be knocking at your door within the hour? Probably not many. Yet, God has provided a relationship to you that can bring you in a community of believers, that can bring you as a disciple of His, that will place you in a place far better than Disney World, far better than cyberspace, far better than the far reaches of the internet, that is available to you today. The question is, will you seek that relationship or will you seek other types of PC relationships? We live in a world that's very PC. Now, when people hear PC, oh, politically correct. You know, if you say the dog was hit by the car, somebody will get offended by that because it's a PC world. But the PC I'm talking about is not that kind of PC. We live in a world that PC, in a sense, is the personal computer world. And people are seeking relationships in there that is not healthy, that is detrimental to their lives. For the young men this morning, are you seeking relationships in the PC world that's based on a play marriage relationship? Are you seeking relationships on the internet where you are clicking around in cyberspace, you are looking around in cyberspace for a play marriage wife in pornography? in immorality. God has provided a relationship for you this morning that is not PC. God has provided a relationship for you this morning that is a relationship that not even that cyberspace, that Disney World type of experience can even compare to if you will take the offer on the table. For the women this morning, maybe you may be looking at on the internet, maybe there are all of these sites that create these profiles. You know, there are people that create fake profiles on the internet and they market it. This is a dating site. If you want a relationship, if you are lonely, you should go on this site, create a profile for you to find the perfect relationship in this earth, in this world, if you don't have one. The problem is there are a lot of people on there that's basically wolves in sheep's clothing. You hear reports that man disguised himself as some picture on the internet, attracted another man, and the man who got attracted is dead. This morning, are these the kind of relationships that you're looking for? God has provided a relationship to you this morning where He calls you and He invites you to be His disciple. He invites you to come into His presence. He invites you to come into His body, His church, where you can be transformed and you can have a disciple-like relationships with other people in the body. In John 13:35, it says, By this all will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You see, if you look on the internet for the relationships the world has to provide, and you may be looking out in the PC world, you may be looking out in the corners of cyberspace for these types of relationships, and to you it's like Walt Disney. There are characters and imaginary figures in there that's attracting you. But these relationships is not based on what God has provided. There's a story of a young man who wanted to have relationship with the Chinese people. There's the story of a young man who was a Christian, and his father was a devout Christian himself. And the young man would tell his father after work, after school, the dad would be home. They would be talking around the dinner table. You know, Dad, I want to go out and I want to share the gospel. I want to win China for Jesus Christ. Every day after school, he would come home. He would take out his maps and he would look. This is Shanghai. This is this province. I want to go to China to share the gospel with them because they are worshiping false idols. So the dad said, you know what, that's you know, son, I want you to do that. But before you do that, I want you to get a job in Chinatown at a local fish market. The son agreed. So he got that job over the summer. He worked for the 2 months. And as he worked doing fish, he got to learn some of the Chinese language. You know how to say hello, ni hao. And he got to learn some of the basics so that when he would eventually get sent off to China, he could be on the ground sharing the gospel, going through the Bible, and letting the people know that this is the one true God. After the job was done for the 2 months, he came home one day and he told his dad, Dad, I don't think I'm ready to be a missionary in China. His dad said, why? He said, you know, Dad, it's one thing to have an idea about a relationship with people far, far away, but it's another thing to live out that kind of relationship day in and day out that requires sacrifice, that requires gentleness, that requires patience, that requires living a life that's not based on yourself. His father said, son, you're right. You need to develop these kind of relationships first here in our family, in our church, and in God's timing, He'll send you out to be whatever He wants you to be for Him if you have a solid relationship with Him yourself first. And that's the purpose of the church this morning. That is the purpose of the church. And Paul is telling the church at Ephesus in chapter 3, the intent of God's church, the intent of God's presence is that the manifold wisdom of God might be known to the church and the principality by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. God wants His church, the relationships that we have in the church. And that's why, for many of you in the past year, we've had small groups. And if you're not connected in a small group, if you're not connected to a local church, what are you waiting for? God has provided that the world can see the kind of relationships that's in the church. And the world would say, wow, this is not even Walt Disney can compare to that. It's God's presence dwelling with His people, dwelling in His church, that the world is saying, wow, this is something that is not of this world. This is something that is from the mind of God Himself. The world, though, a lot of them don't want to go for those for that relationship that God has provided in the church. The offer is on the table. The world is not wanting to accept that kind of relationship. And the world is trying to create solutions to deal with the problem of people not being in relationship. You see, in England, for example, there is a minister for loneliness. That's his job. There are lonely people in England. And his job is to think about how to make people not lonely. Now, I wouldn't be surprised in New York City we get a commissioner for loneliness, too. I wouldn't be surprised. And it's such a bad problem, they say that loneliness can lead to heart disease, cancer. It's so bad that loneliness is equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Because people are disconnected in an age where everything is connected. We were just talking about technology, right? Everything is connected, but people are still lonely and not in relationship. How do we deal with that? How do we tell people that God has provided a relationship to them this morning? I want to give you three keys in your notes. The first one is this. The first foundation for relationship is God. If we miss that foundation, you're floating around in cyberspace. You may be looking to Disney World. You may be looking for all of the relationships that's there out in the world, but not found in God. In Genesis chapter 1 and 26, we see the intent of God. We see the overflowing of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He says this, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." It's only God, only the one true God, not Muhammad. Muhammad doesn't know how to give people relationship. He existed by, according to Islam, he exists by himself. How does someone who doesn't know anything about relationship create man to have a relationship with it? And you see the consequence of that. You see the consequence of the false doctrine of Islam. The Watchtower Society cannot give that kind of relationship. It's a false organization. It's an erroneous organization. I was talking to a guy yesterday on the street. I told him, do you know that they got it wrong in 1975? People sold their houses, sold their 401ks, and the world was coming to an end. He said he was so caught up that even though they got it wrong, he would still believe the falsehood and accept the truth that God has provided. The God of the Scripture has provided a relationship to him that is based on truth, that is based on God's personality. God has created us to know Him, to come into fellowship with Him, to have His presence among us this morning. People are still not willing to accept that offer on the table. Why? Because from Genesis chapter 3, rebellion came into picture. The fall of man. Man basically told God that man didn't want to come under God's authority. Man didn't want to come under the relationship that God had provided them. Man essentially wanted to be above the Godhead and rebelled against God. And ever since, there is a broken relationship. And God is still saying, man, don't live for yourself, because living for yourself means that you are not living for God, and living for yourself means that you are not walking with God. God never intended for man to walk through life on his own. God never intended that. God wanted to walk with Adam, and he did walk with Adam in the cool of the day. And God places us, when we become a Christian, in the context of a local assembly of believers, that we can walk through life knowing him, but also being in relationship to other people. God doesn't want us to have in our minds that we are the one that could dictate the relationship with God. That is creating ourselves above God, and by that same definition, falling into the trap of what Satan did with pride. Saying, God, I want to be above your throne. I want to have the relationship and determine the relationship. I want to be the one that could tell God what to do. And no, that's not the place of flourishing. The place of flourishing is to come under God's leadership, under God's authority. That's the relationship God is opening up to the world. But the world doesn't want that. The world wants Disney World. The world wants cyberspace. Because of the fall, because of the nature of man's heart, the world basically despises this authority that God has set up in the relationship that we should have with Him. The world despises it. The world, it's a war. It's a tug of war coming into the relationship that God has provided for us on Calvary today. 2 Peter tells us, especially those who walk according to the flesh and lust of uncleanness despise that authority from God. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. You go to a coworker, you go to a neighbor, and you tell them that God has provided a relationship for you. Your word, that word of reconciliation, that word of peace that you are giving them, this gospel truth, can lead to them saying, you know what, I despise that. I don't want to come into that relationship with God. I don't want to turn away from the relationships that I have in the world. I want to hold on to what is in the world. And the scripture tells us this is what the world is. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And that's not of the Father. That's not of God. It is of the world. Even Disney World, as Walt Disney said, is of the world. And it might seem like a good thing. Parents might be saying, you know, I want to take my kids to Disney World. I want them to have that relationship. But they are basically creating a God of pleasure. And not coming into the relationship with the God of authority that God has set for them. And the more you follow, the more you reject, the more you turn away from the relationship that God has provided for you in Calvary, you set yourself up to be liable of spending an eternity without God. And God has told us, all of us have a sense in our lives that there is eternity in our hearts. The scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. He has put eternity in our hearts. In one sense, you can hear the clicking of the clock in your hearts that eternity is coming. Eternity is coming. What will you do when you step out into eternity? And when God asks you, I am Jehovah Jireh. I provided a relationship with you that you can walk through life with me. You can walk through life under my authority. You can walk through life in relationships to other believers. What did you do with it? Did you shun it? Did you turn away from it? Were you basically saying, you know what, I'm pretty good at the relationships that I have. In fact, I love the relationships that I have that are not really real. I love being part of the PC culture. I love having a relationship with the bottle at the bar. I love having a relationships with playing marriage. Many people are playing marriage in relationships that is not what God intended. The question is, what's holding you back from getting married? The end result of that is hell. That's the end result of that kind of relationship. That's not the relationship God provided for man. That is the relationship that man is taking on himself when man turns away from what God has provided for him in Calvary. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. It's easy to forget God when you are swept up into Disney World. It's easy to forget God when you are looking to the relationships that are based on a fairy tale. How shocked was the guy when he showed up at that parking lot after going on that dating website, Tinder, whatever it is, and he showed up and it's not a woman, it's a man with a knife coming to get him. How shocked probably he was. How shocked will a lot of people be when they say that, wow, God, the God of the Bible has provided a relationship for them on Calvary, but they turned away from it. Now they're standing before God and God is saying, this is what you deserve. Hell for an eternity. That's not what Jesus wants for you. That's not what the gospel message is preaching. God does not want you to take on that relationship in complete isolation and complete darkness and complete suffering for an eternity in hell. In Psalm chapter 1 or 2 and 6, the writer is telling us that basically Jesus is like a pelican of the wilderness. He's like an owl of the desert. A pelican is a bird that you don't find in the wilderness. A pelican, typically you find it in the ocean, soaring high, in the cool of the ocean. An owl you find in the rainforest, in the lush greens of the rainforest. Jesus basically left the glory of heaven. He left the presence of the Father. He left all of the goodness of God. And he isolated himself. He took on the worst form of relationship, taking the wrath of God upon himself. And he did that so he can provide a relationship with the whole Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit with you this morning, that is far better than anything this world can offer. And he has it for you this morning. And not only that, he offers you that relationship and he brings you into his family once you finally surrender, once you finally come under the authority that he sets up for you. Imagine if you were going to work on Tuesday morning and you're walking down the street, and as you're walking, you tripped over a manhole and you fell down maybe 25 feet in one of the New York City sewers. And the call got back to the fire department, and when the call got back, all the fire guards are looking around. I'm not taking that call. I'm not jumping in any manhole. But one did. And one searched out all of the sewer pipes, 7,400 miles, went all around. He finally found you, and he brought you back up, and he saved your life. What kind of relationship would you have with that fireman? What kind of how much would you appreciate him that he took the call, he dived in, risking his own life to save yours? Jesus has done much more than that. And not only that, he not only saves you, he brings you into his family. He calls you his son, his child, his daughter. For he did not give you a spirit of bondage again to fear, but received you with the spirit of adoption, by whom we call Abba Father, or whom we call Daddy. Is that the relationship that you have with God? Is he the God that you can go to in your darkest moments and call out to him, Daddy, Father, I want to come into your presence. I want to have a relationship with you that is nothing that is found in this world. Nothing that is found in this world. That's a relationship that he wants you to have with him. He wants to bring you into his family. Not too many other gods of this world is willing to bring you into their family. It's false relationships. And that brings us to our second point this morning, family. Family. One of the primary ways that God has ordained, that God is bringing people into relationship, is through the institution of the family. And probably 50 years ago, people understood what a family was and a family is. Today, especially for the young children going through school and coming up, those definitions are blurred. The concept of a family is something that is completely getting erased, chipped away from their mindset. A family, the Hebrew word for family is mishpacha. The word describes the patriarchal clan with the male providing leadership, care, protection for his wife and children. It's a father and a mother and a mother, children. You have grandfathers, aunts, uncles, aunties. But it starts with the male and the female. Everything outside of that is an aberration. It's an abomination. But yet still the world is forcing and pushing alternatives to family that basically erodes the foundation for developing solid relationships in life. Noah, in the scripture, was a good example of a man who was a family man, a man who had the first foundation, God, in his life, and the second foundation, family, and God saved him and his family in a very evil and perverse generation. This morning, will you be like Noah? Will you have that foundation in your life to be covered in the ark of God, to have that relationship with God, to go through the storms, to go through the cultural storms that's brewing in our lifetime? The Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your family, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. God is looking for families, looking for people that are have a foundation and an understanding what the family is to have that kind of relationship with him. The problem is even the family too is under attack. The family is under assault in this generation. And one example that the attack is not always an obvious attack. That's why we need to have discernment. That's why we need to have wisdom from God to discern how is the family being under assault in this generation. One example you see recently is the push for universal pre-K. Across the nation, 28% of children are in universal pre-K programs. In New York City alone, hundreds of millions of dollars are spent on universal pre-K. Now, anytime somebody come with the goodies, you have to say, what is the opportunity cost? What am I giving up to accept those goodies? You know, if you go to the grocery store and you're about to check out and you turn, you see the gummy bears. Oh, boy, some goodies. You want to pick it up on your way out. So people are coming with those goodies for universal pre-K. And a lot of parents are grabbing it, saying, oh, boy, I got to get my child in universal pre-K. I heard the mayor on the radio offering it for free. It's free. It's free. It's free. I'm going to take it. The question is, are you creating a problem later down the road? Are you taking that goodie right now, but in reality, is it really a poison pill for the relationships that's going to be developed with your child and you later down in life? I want to show you this chart here, and I call this chart a window of opportunity. It's basically, it shows the development of a child's brain, and each of those little spider webs are, I call them like fireworks going off in a child's mind. And you could see from 2 years to adulthood, there's not really a lot of difference there. All the children that are being put in these universal pre-K programs are being put there at a time where the child is really developing that critical period of bonding, that critical period of developing relationship, that critical period where the fireworks are going off in their minds, their personalities are developing. It's a wonderful time, and they are being shipped off to universal pre-K. I was talking to a mom that works in a daycare, and she said just to see the children coming in at 7:30, staying there till 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and what they're missing is that relationship. They're missing that bonding. They're missing that time of their parent, and a lot of them are hurting. And the teachers have to step in and hug them and, you know, try to console them, but where is mommy and daddy? Are they taking the goodies? But in the end, are they creating an atmosphere when later down in life that child is saying, "Well, I'm not connected to you. I don't have a relationship with the family, and not if I can't have a relationship with the family, I can't even think about having a relationship with God." I remember myself when I got dropped off at kindergarten, and my dad turned away. I busted out in tears. I've never forgotten that day. I remember another time when my father was pulling up, you know, he just came unannounced at a day of school. I was playing outside, and I saw him coming in his truck. I was playing with my friends. I ran so hard to him, just left everything I do. It was almost I was mesmerized. I saw him coming. I just dropped everything, ran to him. I was running so hard, I tripped, and I busted my chin. Blood all over the place. He just picked me up, put me in his truck. I don't even think I cried. I was just so happy to be with him. Sewed up my chin, and I the pain wasn't even something that was in my mind. Why? Because I wanted that relationship with my father. And this morning, if you are tempted to take the goodies, if you are tempted to say, you know what, I want to have the relationship but not at a cost, you may be creating for yourself a mirage, a Disney World type experience that in the end will lead to more problems down the line. So fathers, mothers, when was the last time you made an unannounced visit to visit your kids at public or private school? Is it not? It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility to have that type of relationship that not even Walt Disney should come in and compromise. But that kind of relationship will lead us to our third point. It will create an opportunity in our lives for sacrifice. To have those kinds of relationships that God is providing for you and for me, it's going to require sacrifice. And sacrifice is a lost art in our culture because we want the instant gummies. We want the instant gratification. We want that piece of chocolate cake at 10:30 at night. Instead of saying, you know what, no, I'll take it in the morning. Or maybe I'm going to take it next week. It might require some sacrifice, and the sacrifice that is very clear is something that God wants us to have in our lives as we get into the right relationships that He's setting up. You see in Leviticus chapter 22 that God was telling the nation of Israel, you shall offer your own free will offering, a male offering without any blemish of cattle from the sheep or for the goats. So in other words, what you are bringing is not some animal, some alley cat that you find in the street to bring an offering to me in my temple. What you are bringing to me will cost you something. To get that kind of relationship with your child, to get that kind of relationship with your spouse, to get that kind of relationship to other brother in the church, it will cost you something. It's going to be a sacrifice. Somebody has to pay for that kind of relationship. God ultimately has paid for it all on Calvary, but we too have to model, we too have to live a life of sacrifice. There's a story, as I'm about to close, there's a story of a young man who was part of a high school, and he was faithful in telling his friends about Jesus Christ, but his friends wouldn't believe him. His friends just didn't believe him. He gave them a reason for the hope that was within him. You know, God had provided that. You know, God had given him a resolute mind. He knew the scriptures was true. And he kept sharing with his friends, but they wouldn't believe him. He went home and he spoke to his parents, and his father was wealthy. His father had a lot of money. His father told him, you know what? Tell your friends I'm going to take all five of them with me to Egypt, and we're going to travel through the desert. We're going to retrace the path of Moses, where they crossed the Red Sea. I'm going to show you where Goshen was, where the nation of Israel started, and it grew from 70 to over 2 million. And we're going to go all the way south up to Mount Sinai, where God gave Moses the law in Horeb. And the friend said, are you going to pay for all of that for my friends? The father said, yes. So he told his friends, and they went out on this trip. And as they were going around, the father with the tour guide was so happy. The guys were learning and they were seeing, wow, the scriptures can be trusted. The scriptures are authoritative. Everything that God has wrote from Genesis to Revelation is true. So they got to this place where they had to cross over to another site. And the tour guide took three guys ahead with him. And the father and the son and two other guys is in the back wanting to cross across a drawbridge. Now below that drawbridge, there was quicksand about 40 feet or so below. So the guys are crossing, and it's an old bridge. I mean, they're all the way in Egypt. So they're crossing, and the guys are looking, you know, some of the guys are basically chicken trying to cross the bridge. So they got over, three did, and his son and two of the other guys are back with the father. And as they were crossing the last couple of legs, a gust of wind blew and snapped the wires in the bridge. The father happened to jump over, and he grabbed his son, and he grabbed the other son. And both of them are dangling over this bridge, 25 feet high, and there's quicksand, and dust is blowing, and the son is screaming, Dad, don't let me go! And the other guy is screaming, Sir, please don't let me go! And he's holding them, and he's looking over. And at that point, the son told the father, Dad, I know the relationship I have with my Heavenly Father. I know the relationship I have with you. You can let me go. His father looked at him, looking at the quicksand, had to make a decision, had to have that sacrifice. He had the foundation of God. He let him go. And he grabbed the other son and pulled him up. And that other friend was able to go back to school and tell the school without a shadow of a doubt, the God of the scripture, the God that this guy served, is the one true God. And I want to be in a relationship with him too, the same kind of a relationship my friend had. This morning, God has provided that for you. God has provided that for you. What is holding you back? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We praise you that the same relationship that Moses had with you, the same relationship the saints of the Old Testament and the apostles in the New Testament, Father, we are confident that you are offering this kind of relationship to us today, Lord. You have provided that kind of relationship to us. Not even Walt Disney can compare to it. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. Amen.